Hi there, and welcome to Positive Spirit, where we help you find and live your best life. I am Coach Red. I will be your host today, although as I say every week, I'm your host every week. You can always find me at CoachRed.com. That is the word coach. Then my last name, R-E-D-D.com. And you can also find any of our awesome coaches at CoachingByZen.com, which is the word coaching by B-Y. Zen, Zebra Echo November.com. I promise you will not be disappointed because we've got some very, very talented coaches there just waiting to help guide you through your career, your life, nutrition, spirituality, just about everything. So definitely encourage you to check out coachingbyzen.com. Our goal at Positive Spirit is to change the world one life at a time. The question I always ask is why not start with yours? And the fact that you're listening tells me that you've made a decision that you would like to lead a more fulfilling, purposeful, and meaningful life and to hit more of that peak performance, whether it's in your career or your life. So as always, I welcome you back and welcome new listeners as well. I promise that we will have plenty of content, not only today, but in the future, because it's my goal to help people reach that place where they're finding themselves more fulfilled. And again, this comes after a 25-year career of working in corporate America, which was both rewarding as well as very experiential. The things that I got to experience during that career, but I realized in the second half of my life that the reality is I prefer coaching people. So that is why I started this podcast. That's why I started the Coaching by Zen company. And it's why I'm here and what I hope my legacy ends up being over the next, hopefully, a lot of years. But let's do a quick refresher on where this comes from, again, for the new listeners who maybe haven't heard this before. But I'm an author, among other things. I'm an author of a philosophy called Leadership Zen. And I have been working on this for probably about 20 years, pretty close to 20 years. It started as a philosophy on how to be a better business leader, but it evolved over time to become more of a personal development philosophy, which I think, honest answer, it always was intended to be there. Because my belief is you can't really be an effective business leader unless you're leading the life that you want to lead, because you kind of carry that lack of fulfillment into your life inside the office. So it evolved significantly over the years, and now it is this thing called Leadership Zen, which not only forms the basis of my coaching, but also of the companies that I run. One of the things that I always like to tell people relative to Leadership Zen is it is about leadership. First and foremost, it's about personal leadership. Very applicable to more formal definition of the word leadership. But more importantly, one of the questions that I often get asked is about this Zen thing. And many people, I should say, particularly in Western cultures, think of Zen as a religion. And that's both right and wrong. Zen for me is more of a state of mind. It's about having an openness to mindfulness. It's about having an openness to new ideas, and it's about being able to let go. And for me, I've translated that not only into a practice, which is great because I do teach meditation and mindfulness, but more important for me is it's actually produced some significant transformation in myself. Because ultimately, I have spent most of my life trying to chase something, trying to chase good grades, trying to chase being a good athlete, trying to, you know, find that next title in business, whatever. But what I found that I was able to let go, let's just say I found out that I was missing less in my life. And that becomes most important when I think about my two children, Evan and Jameson, who are 17-year-old twins and really love hanging out with their dad, which I think is, for anybody that's got teenagers, I think by itself, that's got a little unusualness to it. But I'm finding that my new focus in life, which is obviously helping people, touching lives, and so on and so forth, the ability to put some focus on me and the things that are important to me and not run past them has been one of the greatest gifts I've had with the life change that I've made. And so when I take a look at what I do, when I take a look at this Positive Spirit podcast, a lot of it really does have to do with being able to teach people how to let go, to find that purpose, and ultimately, as I mentioned at the beginning, to live your best life. And that's not always the easiest thing to do, but I'm definitely here to help if I can. So a quick refresher, when we talk about Leadership Zen, this philosophy that I've had for the last, you know, pretty much 20 years, it is based upon what I call the six commitments. And my belief is that when we commit to certain things, we create the opportunity to think different. So we're all wired to our biases. Very, very, very hard to not be wired to your biases. And that comes from belief, it comes from how we're raised, it comes from any number of things. But in order to be truly effective, and in order to be somebody that can be effective for yourself as well as for other people, I believe it's important to release your biases and to be open to new ideas and to get to a place of non-judgment, because you're limiting yourself, you're limiting your effectiveness, and you're limiting your ability to impact others when you can't open up and at least hear other ideas and be open to the idea that, and I don't believe in quote unquote right or wrong. We all have our beliefs. But maybe the best way to say it is that when we open up and realize that somebody is not inherently wrong because they don't believe that we do, it just makes you a better person and a better leader. For me, I think that that's been one of the biggest things that I talk to people about is losing that judgment. And that's part of the foundation of Zen. And that's how I practice it in my life. Again, I've got a morning meditation routine that I go through pretty much every day. I had to grow it. But ultimately, when you think about these six commitments, the idea is when we work on them and we make them part of our lives, then we turn them into habits. And when we turn them into habits, it becomes something much bigger than just learning a concept. It becomes something that we can live. And those six commitments are authenticity, curiosity, vision, passion, courage, and humility. And all of those are things that we will talk about over the next several weeks, because we come out pretty much every week. But today, what I really want to talk about is the notion of authenticity. It's exceptionally important because it is the foundational commitment, which means we kind of have to get that right, because the other ones become very difficult to achieve if we can't get to an authentic place ourselves. So the first question is always, what exactly is authenticity? Well, you're going to hear that word thrown around a lot, particularly generationally, because, you know, part of it, you can use words like, you know, I'm authentic, I'm real, I'm woke, whatever. It may mean different things to different people. But really what it does come down to is being able to believe and to behave according to your true nature. Now, the dictionary definition of it from Merriam-Webster is being true to one's own personality, spirit, or character, and to not be false or an imitation. And honestly, that's a pretty descriptive thing, even if it's more intellectual than emotional. And I find sometimes it's easier to absorb a concept when we touch the emotions. It's still a good definition. But one of the things that it misses is the fact that authenticity is not just about ourselves. It's about other people, how they perceive us, how they receive us. And in many ways, kind of the boxes that they want us to fit in, because ultimately there's authenticity, which means living according to our true nature. And then there's the reality of how we mostly live, which is we have to play certain roles in our lives. We have to do some sense of conforming. We have personas that we do. So if you go to work, you're expected to adapt to the culture. You're expected to conform to the ideas of the people that are in charge, fundamentally, right? So you may have a better idea of what you do, but if, you know, effectively, you're there to do what other people do. And that's sort of the form of it's a form of persona living. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. Even in our personal and social lives, we as a species are programmed to want to fit in. And in order to fit in, you have to kind of adapt to the quote unquote norms of the group that you're trying to fit into. Now, for some of us, that is watching TV and having the haircuts and wearing the clothes and so on and so forth so that you're not considered to be different. For others, it's about having a specific social network that you're involved with, a circle of friends that you're involved with, and being able to relate to them in terms of what I hope is not really a persona, because I'm kind of hoping that you pick your friends based upon the things that are more authentic to you. But we all have had those opportunities, those moments in our life where it hasn't worked out that way. So when we talk about authenticity, it really is about figuring out who we are as individuals and living that life. You will never be able to get rid of the concept of a persona. You will never be able to get rid of that place, because ultimately somewhere it's going to play in. The question is, how much is it going to play in and how much does it cause you stress? Because we can play a persona for a little while and not have it damage us either emotionally, intellectually, or physically, because stress does all of the above. As long as we fit it in that place and recognize that at the end of the day, we need to come back to true nature, which is how I describe authenticity. And what I love about authenticity, and again, this whole idea of it being about others as much, is, you know, when we think about the concept of leadership, whether it's personal, business, or whatever, it's about attracting followers. So in business, that's easy. You want people to follow you. You want your team to follow you. You want people to buy into your ideas. That comes from a sense of not only talent, but also genuineness. So it's about talent because people want to know that you're going to get them to where you're trying to get to. But at the same time, it's about genuineness because that breeds trust. And when we look at authenticity in this particular vein, what we're talking about is embodying living in the moment with conviction and confidence. Because true authenticity builds confidence, breeds confidence, as well as presence. And the reason it does it is because it is actually the real you. When we act according to our true nature, there's a certain innate confidence that comes with that, which is very important because not only is it a positive effect on us, again, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically, it is more genuine, so it's got a positive effect on us. But understanding, again, that it has a positive effect on others, it really does get us to a place where not only are we more fulfilled, because we are ultimately social, but it also gets us closer to peak performance. So I think that those are important concepts that I want you to hold on to. An authentic person puts people around them at ease because they lack the pretense that is often required. Now, I say required in quotes, but it's what's required of us when we play those personas in the many roles that we play every day. The reason I put required in quotes is because we always have a choice to play along or to play our own tune and to write our own narrative. My choice is, and always has been, or not always actually, has been a journey there, but certainly over the last 10 years or so has been to write my own narrative. And when I coach people, when I talk to my clients, that's one of the biggest things I talk about is write your own narrative. Don't let somebody else tell you what you're good at. Don't let somebody else tell you what you need to do. Again, being respectful of constructive feedback, but a lot of times that feedback has a tendency to dip into less into outcome and results and more into behaviors and personality. Don't let people do that to you because it's impacting your authenticity. And one of my favorite quotes is from somebody by the name of Brené Brown. And that is, to be authentic, we must cultivate the courage to be imperfect and vulnerable. We have to believe that we are fundamentally worthy of love and acceptance, just as we are. I've learned that there is no better way to invite more grace, gratitude and joy into our lives than by mindfully practicing authenticity. Now, there's a lot in that statement. First is about the idea of cultivating, and more importantly, cultivating courage. Authenticity happens because I believe that ultimately we end up coming back to our true nature. One way or another, we come back to true nature. But practicing it on a day-to-day basis, when we don't always have the support, when we sometimes have people who want us to act differently than our true nature, it is a choice. And that means we are cultivating that choice and the courage to dare to be different. And why that's important to me, and trust me, it's exceptionally important to me, because I used to spend a large part of my life trying to conform to what other people thought I should do, whether it was grades or being an athlete or how much college I went through. I had to not only meet but exceed people's expectations with respect to that. And what I've learned is the ability to cultivate the courage to not do that anymore, to realize those things weren't really all that important to me. Not that I necessarily didn't want to do them, but understanding that I wasn't necessarily living according to my own true nature. I was living according to what somebody else thought that my true nature should be. And it wasn't necessarily in my case that somebody was driving me to do these things. It was my perception of what I thought people wanted me to be. And it took me years to kind of get over that. And I think to some degree, when I started writing this philosophy 20 years ago, that was probably part of the foundation of it, was understanding that I needed to let go of those outcomes, somebody else's outcomes, and figure out who I wanted to be. So that cultivating of the courage to be imperfect and vulnerable is critical to authenticity, because somebody is always going to look at you and say, what is wrong with that person? Or, okay, they're not wearing the right clothes, or they don't have the right hair, or whatever. They're going to find something wrong. And unfortunately, as I mentioned in a previous podcast, we as human beings kind of hold on to that, right? So you get a performance review, you get the five things that you're great at, and somebody says you need to write better emails. Human beings are programmed to forget about those five great things. We go home and dwell on writing better emails and wonder why somebody says that. We actually tend to internalize that and think that they're talking about character flaws versus something that we can improve on. And the key is, I don't care who you are, we can all improve on something. So I think that that's important. And that really comes down to this piece of when we talk about worthy of love and acceptance. And I never really liked the concept of acceptance. It's better than tolerating, because again, when you use the word tolerate, you're basically saying, I don't like what you're doing, but I'll go ahead and tolerate it. Acceptance is one step better. But I kind of take it to a different place, which is non-judgment in the first place. So you don't really have to worry about tolerance and acceptance. I just believe that you live and let live, but that's, again, a fundamental piece of authenticity. Just be who you are. One of my favorite statements is go be. Just go be. So when we talk about mindfully practicing authenticity, it is a journey. I just told you I had to have a journey to get there. Today, while I still walk the journey, I believe it's a lifelong journey. I'll tell you, I don't have to take a lot of paths. It's pretty much a straight line for me, because everything that I do comes from a place of authenticity. But I had to make choices to get there. I had to leave corporate America, start my own company and my own practice to help other people, because ultimately that is who I am. It may not have been who I was 20 years ago when I was, you know, really having some great experiences and doing some great things. But that eroded over the years to the point where I just wasn't having fun at it. And quite honestly, I found out it just wasn't me. So getting to that place of mindfully practicing that and questioning what it is that you do and why you do it helps you get a little bit better to that true nature. So again, cultivate the courage to be imperfect and vulnerable. Believe that we are fundamentally worthy of love and acceptance, and mindfully practice that authenticity. I think those are the key three things that I want to get across relative to that. Now, why is authenticity good? Or the contrast of it, why is not being authentic not good? And the first answer I give is it kind of helps you have more fun. It is ultimately stressful to be inauthentic. Okay, we work hard to build our personas. We work hard to maintain those personas. And when they're ultimately against your true nature, you're inviting stress into your life, whether it is physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, whatever. We're inviting stress. It takes work to get there. It takes less work to live according to your true nature. When we work to live within a persona, number one, we're acknowledging that somebody else gets to write our narrative, which I'm telling you is not the right thing to do. The personas are fake and they're almost always challenged. It makes it hard for people to want to follow you or to even be around you or to trust you if there's a feeling that you're not being an authentic you. And it does come across. It doesn't take a lot for it to come across. This whole persona thing comes from a place of belief anyway, which I consider, you'll hear me a lot of times talk about beliefs versus the word truth or other things like that. I mostly say I believe. So normally, people will just get up and say, this is a fact because that's what they believe. I say, I believe this is true because I recognize that there's room for other opinions and I recognize I don't know everything. My favorite example with respect to that is going back 25 years and the broad community, astronomical community, didn't believe there were other planets, certainly nothing habitable outside of Earth. And now all of a sudden we're finding them every other weekend. So we don't know what we don't know, but when we can acknowledge that we might not know something, it just makes us, again, better to this place of authenticity. One, because it demonstrates that curiosity, which we'll get to next week. But number two, it doesn't box you into somebody else's belief of what you need to be. You don't need somebody else's box to figure out who you want to be. Second, it helps people believe in you. I will tell you, people can always sniff out a phony. Trust me. Again, I've been in business so long, you kind of just get that feel when somebody's standing up on a stage and trying to inspire you and trying to do this, but really aren't connecting with you. They connect with you in terms of that emotional level, so to speak, but it's a persona that they're playing too in order to be able to inspire you to do something, particularly when times are not so good. So when you are authentic, it helps people to believe in you as a leader, as a person. And by the way, that helps really well when we're talking about our social relationships, be it a spouse or a partner, whatever, or just our friends. When we don't try so hard to be something, it just comes across more confident and with a better presence. Authenticity also helps you to find courage. It's this notion of fear versus truth. So when we try to fit in, we're operating out of a place of fear because we're fearing literally not to fit in. And that's grounded in science all over the place because, you know, whether you talk about Maslow's hierarchy or you talk about anything else, ultimately, we are social beings and we like to be accepted. Now is a fantastic time to illustrate that with this COVID-19 and this social distancing that we have going on right now. It's hard on people. It's stressful because we like being around people. And that doesn't just mean sitting down and connecting on social media. It means we like to be around people. And a lot of times that requires us to put on those personas. But when we fight that fear and go to our own truth, which is what I call the true nature, we're sort of suspending belief and going to who we are. And when we create it in ourselves and in others, we are demonstrating the courage to challenge other people's narratives. And I can't say that enough. Write your own narrative. Courage just has to be. It cannot be manufactured. It just has to be. Authenticity also helps us make the right decisions, even if we are wrong in terms of outcomes. And I always tell people, don't hold on to outcomes, at least not the way we tend to do it. But it helps us make the right decisions. It gives us the courage to be able to venture something based on our own experience, based upon our own gut instincts, to be able to literally say, you know what, here's what I think we should do. Find out that you don't, or that if it works, great. But if you find out it doesn't, to have the humility to say, okay, learn from it, but to not be afraid of other people's reactions to it. And that's one of the things I talk about with respect to non-judgment. When we demonstrate non-judgment, we help to create that in other people. When we create that in other people, I'm just telling you, we're making the world a little bit better. There is a certain integrity that comes from living according to your own authenticity. It can inspire you to take more risks. And I'm not saying go out there and do something, you know, silly or dumb, but it inspires you to take more risk, which can lead to more fulfillment, more purpose. It definitely opens your box. So I think that's important because that helps drive innovation. There's an innovation that comes from business. So we think about Apple and Steve Jobs and coming up with the iPhone, the iPad and whatnot. But there's also an innovation that comes from us internally, which is, it doesn't have to be a reinvention, but it really does have to do with renewal and rejuvenation. And it's recognizing myself, I turned 52 in a couple of months. It's recognizing that I'm not the same person as I was at 25 and be okay with that. Because the world is different today than it was 27 years ago. So being okay with the idea of a little bit of reinvention is not such a bad thing. Although, like I said, I kind of focus more on the rejuvenation and renewal, but we all deserve a little reinvention too. It doesn't have to be 180 degrees, but if you move 10 to 20, you're still going to lead a better fulfilled life. Now, how does one actually become more authentic? Well, as I mentioned, first of all, you have to stop being concerned with outcomes, and you have to be less concerned with quote unquote fitting in, and you have to be less concerned with other people's opinions of you. So here's what I think about opinions is that number one, they have a tendency to come from belief. And I think beliefs are inherently flawed. They're not wrong. They're flawed. Because when somebody gets absolute about something, I will tell them that there is nothing absolute in the world, which is why I try not to use, and I don't always get it right, but I try not to use like always, never, only, because somewhere there's an outlier to what you're saying. And so if you recognize that there might be a little pebble among the rocks that could be different, then you open up your mind to possibility. You open up your mind to possibility. It's hard to judge other people. So you start by not judging other people and working out your own biases to what you do and understanding that other people may have them. And you literally, in terms of your true nature and authenticity, you can't care because you have two choices. You can either be authentic and come to this potentially gracious life, this potentially less stressed life, or you can let somebody else write your narrative and you can ultimately stress yourself, create anxiety. And trust me, I have clients who I work with this all the time. You create stress and anxiety when you try to live up to other people's expectations. The other side about it too is that we have a tendency, again, I've done this in my life, we have a tendency to create other people's expectations of us. And that's never a good thing. Because now you're really putting yourself in a bind because nobody's really asking you to do it, but you're chasing it and it may not actually be who you are. Second, to become more authentic, we've got to become more self-aware. And I think that this is really important because the sixth commitment of Leadership Zen is humility. And I think having the humility to know that you do not know everything, that you are not perfect, that to some degree our lives are meant to serve other people and not our own interests, all has to do with self-awareness. We are not perfect. I am the first person to tell you that living to try to be perfect is not always the good thing. In fact, I'll argue with you, it's never the good thing because there's no such thing as perfect. There's always going to be somebody that doesn't like where you're headed. There's always going to be some outcome that doesn't fit into what you want it to be. And for me, what's been most important is there's always going to be a moment that you miss that you should enjoy and hold on to. I have a very me example where I won an award This goes back 19 years, I think it was actually a top award in my company. And everybody around me was excited about this and so on and so forth. I think my joy lasted for about a week. And by then I was already on to, what do I need to do next to be better than I was yesterday? Well, again, that's letting someone or something else write my narrative. That could be ego that's writing my narrative, but at the end of the day, it is inauthentic. So developing that self-awareness, which starts with discovery, understanding what your true nature is and how to make that happen, but then also be able to evaluate along the way how close you are to that path that you develop from that discovery. And it is, again, not judging. We're walking away from judgment. There should be no self-judgment. The same as we should not judge other people. Thirdly, be mindful and present. Be aware. And for me, the reason that that's important starts with the fact that, number one, there's a heck of a lot of world out there, and there's some beautiful things going on out there. And in fact, in my opinion, I think that the world is inherently beautiful in its own right. And that's why I spend so much time trying to protect it and trying to make sure that the world that we hand off to our next generation, and in this case, me to my sons, is at least as beautiful as the one that I came into. But I wouldn't mind it actually being a little bit better, because I'm the kind of guy that, you know, will love walking through the trees or to see a small animal scurry across my yard. Those are beautiful things. So being present of that, being present in your personal lives, being present in your professional lives, I think that that is a critical piece of authenticity. Because not missing things is important. And this I got to throw out there. When we talk about in a business thing, I'm not talking about not being on your phone. I am talking about not being on your phone doing Facebook and talking about things that aren't there, because I consider technology and the business platform to be something that enables productivity in a meeting. The idea of being present there is, if you're going to solve a problem, great. If you're not, then try to be present there. And I'm not even going to get into why you should be that way with your spouse, partner, or friends, because I think that one's pretty clear. So be mindful and present. Next is don't judge. And I think I've covered that enough, but that one is so important to me. One, because I've never really been a judger throughout my life. I just have always been this, hippie, live and let live type of a guy. But even in my own life, of having to take that relative platform of non-judgment and turn it into a true platform of non-judgment, I will tell you that, number one, is exceptionally freeing. It demonstrates that I'm writing my own narrative, but most importantly, is it demonstrates I don't hold anybody else to my narrative. And that is a critical piece, because you are not enabling other people to be authentic, particularly if you're in a position of power over them. You're not allowing somebody else to be authentic when you judge them. So as we expect not to be judged, to allow our authenticity and our story to write itself, don't be that person that doesn't help other people do it. Because again, changing the world one life at a time, you don't want to change it for the negative. You want to help them get to where you are as you practice your own authenticity. Forget approval. Forget tolerance and forget acceptance. Who has the right to bring these things to you? No one. No one can tell you how to be authentic. Nobody can tell you what your authenticity is. Only you can articulate that. Only you can live it. And only you can get to this place of true nature. So those are the ways that you can start to practice authenticity. There's certainly a lot more, but I try to be simple. I mean, again, it's that Zen mind that I have. You try to be simple. If you just work with these bullet points here that I'm working with right now, your ability to tap into your true nature ends up becoming astounding. It just grows with what you do. And that's really ultimately what we're trying to do, is to make sure that we're putting ourselves on the path to growth, as opposed to looking at the world and saying, I read the book, I took the class, I did this, now tomorrow I'm going to end up being in this other place, because it doesn't work that way. We put ourselves on a path, on a journey to do these things, and we work that path for the rest of our lives. I have never stopped working on my authenticity, my curiosity, developing visions, having passion or embracing that passion, having the courage to write my own narrative, and ultimately to have that humility that says, I serve others, I serve you, I serve others. Write your own narrative and recognize that it's a series. It's not a novel, it's a series. So as we wrap, I want to just say that we always return to true nature. That's a statement that I'm going to make quite a bit. I say it not only in my coaching practice, but I also say it just, you know, throughout my normal day. We always return to true nature. And so the key to that is making sure that we choose authenticity. Authenticity is a choice. But if we don't make that choice, we're still going to return to true nature. Then you create this conflict. Avoid the conflict by choosing authenticity. Authenticity is ultimately the art of living according to who you are and who you really want to be. And that by itself can be a challenge, because that's a discovery thing, because we don't always know what we want to be. But again, that's an area where talking to somebody can actually help. So whether it's a coach or whether it is your spouse, a friend, or so on and so forth, helping you to identify that authentic self, that you know, who you really want to be, is a critical piece of achieving authenticity. Authenticity is an internal compass measured both by our ability to stay true, but also marked by how we are perceived by others. Authenticity is both who you see when you look in the mirror and the emotions it conjures up, but it's also how others see you when you think they aren't looking. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before, but that really is one of the fundamental foundations of authenticity. Look, we have many pressures around us to be inauthentic. We play many roles in our lives, leaders and managers, spouses and partners, parents and friends, and the list goes on. The list goes on. Each one of these roles expects us to adopt certain personas in order to be effective. And the funny thing is that when we do that, we are actually adopting somebody else's definition of effective. So again, you're letting somebody else write your own narrative. And I will tell you from, again, many, many decades of experience that if you're not always right, then consider that somebody else can't always be right. And you may lose that battle, but you can't judge yourself by it. Okay? So in adopting said persona, don't lose your authenticity and the ability to say, hey, I don't think this is the right approach. I don't think that this is how we should do things. I don't think we should go here for vacation. Whatever it is, compromise is one thing. Giving in is another. Surrender is another. Don't surrender your authenticity. There is a huge difference when it comes to personas between an expectation and a requirement. And even though somebody may, quote unquote, require you to do something, you're only required by your own choice of what you choose to do. So if it's an expectation, you can navigate that expectation and remain true to your nature. If we are required to be someone else to make other people happy, that is a situation that we need to exit as fast as possible. But if we instead choose to be someone else in order to fit in, that is a choice that we need to think about carefully. Again, narrative, narrative, narrative. People like authenticity more than conformity. They like the confidence and presence that comes from authenticity. And if your circles require you to drop yours in order to be a part of theirs, it might be time to find a new circle, whether it's personally, professionally, or whatever. My message to you today is write your own book. Write your own series. Discover your own path and walk it. And you might just find that other people will walk it with you. So I want to thank you for being here today. I've got, you know, my normal things I want to talk about. Number one, you can find me all the time at coachred.com. That is coachred.com. It's a site that's going to not only give you some insight into who I am and kind of what I believe. I got plenty of blogs on there and so on and so forth, but there's opportunities on there too to, learn about meditation and to be able to take a look at some of the other things that we've put together in terms of your personal growth. I also always need to point out that we've got a lot of coaches and a lot of coaches that are very deep into this authenticity concept who can sit down. I mean, literally, you can take a 30-minute consultation and find out whether it's right for you. And I personally believe that investing in a coach is the right thing to do. You can find them at coachingbyzen.com. So that's the word coaching by B-Y Zen, Zebra Echo November.com. And finally, I always want to put in a little bit of a plug for the Cause Change Foundation. So that's literally the hashtag Cause Change Foundation. And it can be located at causingchange.org. So again, that's the word causingchange.org. We're dedicated to healthy people, healthy planet, and healthy partnerships. And really what that means is we believe in health and wellness. One of the biggest things that we do is we do cancer prevention and awareness. Cancer has touched my life. It's touched many of your lives. Quite frankly, it's touching me right now as I go through my own journey with respect to having stage 4 cancer. But at the same time, it's also about general wellness and education. We promote all those through the foundation. Healthy Planet, as I mentioned, is about wanting to hand off a world a little bit better than I came into it. We've got a lot of people wrapped around that mission. And finally, Healthy Partnerships, which is helping companies in particular, government agencies and whatnot, to develop business models to realize that they don't have to be that unwilling passenger in terms of making positive change. You don't have to trade profit for positivity, and we work with companies to do that. So as always, we love to find volunteers, but at the same time, not going to lie, we can definitely use donations of any sort. So you can do that right at our site, which is causingchange.org. So once again, I want to thank you for being here. Hey, I'd love it if you can share this, share the links to your social media, get people on board. This is a movement. This isn't just something that I do on a weekend. This is a movement where we are really, really trying to change the world one life at a time. So I always like to ask, why don't you invite somebody else to change theirs? Because that's how you just changed yours as well. So thanks again. This is Coach Red signing off. Be well and go be.